Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Welcome to episode 22 of Criminality, the podcast where we talk about the intersection of reality TV, true crime, because it isn't a crime to love reality. Hi, Melissa.
Hi, Rebecca. And thank goodness it isn't a crime to love reality, because I don't know about you, I've been back on my game with television and I've been watching a lot of reality. Good times.
I mean, yes. Let's be thankful coming out of this Thanksgiving weekend that it is not a crime, because how else could we get through these holiday weekends if not for some serious binge watching?
We spent Thanksgiving with our in-laws this year down the road, and all I did was eat, like, way more than I was supposed to. Not supposed to, but, like, you know when you get to the point where your stomach's like, maybe lay off a little. You're going to feel this later.
There's leftovers. Calm down.
Yeah, there's leftovers. Calm down. You can bring those home. But then the other side of my brain's like, I don't actually like leftovers. So I need to eat everything fresh right now. Let's do this. And I looked a little like my background here with Tina Fey with her sandwich.
She's perfect.
She is. She's perfection.
I love her. No matter what she does. Yeah.
You know, even that disgusting photo I have of her. But yeah, Thanksgiving was great here in the States. Rebecca, how was your Thanksgiving?
It was really nice. All the kids home, which is always good.
Oh, that's nice.
We were in New Jersey, not too far from home. Home, my old home. You know,
I mean, homes.
Yeah, home where I grew up, Both. Home where I am now. but I can't stop looking at Liz Lemon, and you mentioned the sandwiches, which, you know, I know is like our love language. But remember, because there ain't no party like a Liz Lemon party, because a Liz Lemon party has...
is mandatory. Oh, wait, was the one I was going to do.
It's mandatory. And I think there's another time she did it, has sandwiches.
Of course. It's so, not a party unless it has sandwiches. Have you gone
and
to
And it's mandatory.
Yeah, both.
No, thank you. Not interested. No, but you know, Thanksgiving's actually my favorite meal. On Dialogue at the end of my interview this season, I've been asking people, what would your last meal be? And right. I'm getting the best answers. But mine is actually my mom's Thanksgiving dinner. So...
Nice.
Truly, I am like not happier anywhere but like eating Thanksgiving dinner.
Yeah,
that my mom makes, and I love the leftovers. So I just like stuff myself to I'm in pain, just like you were talking about, and then I just do it again the next day.
you do it until things get a little smelly, and then you're like, you know what?
Yeah, this is run its course. Yeah,
this is a problem.
Yeah, for sure. But this is actually perfect, because we mentioned Thanksgiving and food and family. And we mentioned New Jersey. And I don't know if you know where we are. And if you're watching on YouTube, I've got a beautiful ballroom behind me. But food and family and New Jersey are big parts of today's story. And there's twists and turns, which is also appropriate, because you know where there's a lot of twists and turns, Melissa?
New Jersey?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, actually, yes. Maybe less twists, more turns, because like there's this running joke in New Jersey that no matter where you're talking about in the state, people just say, "With what exit?" That's the joke.
Oh,
like
okay.
Off the parkway or the turnpike, what exit? Mm-hmm. Because we are a small, densely populated state, and there are like so many more exits off of the highways than there are in other states. Mm. So it's just a matter of like, what exit do you, anybody from Jersey will understand what I'm saying. So yes, we are in New Jersey, and yes, it's another Housewives episode.
Woohoo.
And I know. And people might be wondering, well, which one, right? There could be a lot of New Jersey housewives for this
episode.
So
much, yes.
I'll tell you who it's not. It's not Danielle Staub, a.k.a. Beverly Merrill.
Okay.
Her controversial past, which landed her a mugshot. It's
a cameo in a book.
And a cameo in a book. I think that book actually will come up, though. So
Excited well done. To hear.
Ding, ding, ding. And it's not going to be about Teresa and her participation in her husband Joe's financial fraud crimes, which also landed her in jail. Today, we're talking about the Manzos. All of them.
All of them?
Pretty much all of them, yes.
This is and like Christmas.
I know.
Thanksgiving,
you know,
it's Christmas now.
Absolutely. This is coming out in December. It's the holidays. And because I love you and our listeners so much, we're going to cover some crimes, but I'm going to throw in a little legal shenanigans too. So we're going to get a nice little double dose of Manzo stories.
I love it.
But we're going to start with the Manzo who was a victim of a terrible crime. But before we get into the story, let's just like do a little refresher on Real Housewives of New Jersey and the principal players. So gotta ask, I'm sure you have watched Real Housewives of New Jersey. Did you watch in real time? Like, what is your, talk to me about your feelings.
My background is I am a purist and I start with the first season as it's airing of any Housewives franchise except Miami. I still haven't watched Miami. I don't know how that one escaped me.
Same, same.
Yeah, so I need to watch that one. But New Jersey, I've watched from the beginning. The only season I didn't watch because I didn't have access to my mom's Bravo information at the time and I was not paying for it was, remember when the twins were on there? It was like the year after those, I think they were on two seasons.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about? I do. I can't even remember their names. They were so inconsequential.
Yeah, one was like dating a fireman maybe or something, but
yes.
Yeah. I was fine.
That was a weird, that was such, I remember specifically a Halloween costume party.
Me too.
Yes, yes.
So at some point, that's the only thing I've missed. And loving the new cast, absolutely love the new cast. But yeah, that's my story.
Okay, now that's really, really good. And I should mention at the top, just a quick content warning before I get into this show. We will talk about a kind of violent home invasion, and there will be a brief mention of a murder, but no gory details. Just Perfect. For anyone listening who would like to know that in advance. Also, I have a little cold, so if I sound a little bit off or gross, that's why.
But
so,
you don't look off or gross. And
really,
you would
I
know that
it.
If you were watching this on YouTube. So there we go.
Plug at for Criminality the Show on YouTube. Yeah, you definitely want to see our backgrounds. Mine might even change over the course of the story. Okay, so a little refresher on some of the principal players, because there's a lot of family members in this show, as you know, that's a big theme and it can get a little confusing. So we've got sisters, Caroline and Dina, and those are like, we're going to like really talk about them a lot. So they're sisters and they married brothers, Albert and Tommy Manzo. But Caroline and Dina's maiden name is Loretta. And that might sound familiar because Jacqueline Loretta on the show is married to Caroline and Dina's brother, Chris. So there's a lot of like sibling and marriage, not to their own siblings, but like siblings marrying siblings. And then the friend Jacqueline to the women, she is really a sister-in-law because she married their sister. So I think I knew that, but reading it, I was like, oh, wow. So we meet Caroline Manzo, who's absolutely the matriarch of certainly her family, but maybe even the show, rivaling only Teresa, right? She's a little older. She's very serious. And the show premiered in 2009. We meet her. She's married to her husband, Albert Manzo. And together they have three kids, Albie, Chris, and Lauren, who are pretty big parts of the show themselves. Yeah. Caroline, I want to describe her for anyone who hasn't watched Real Housewives of New Jersey, which I'm always shocked to learn people listen to our show who don't watch these shows. So for any of you, Caroline is a fiery redhead Italian, big maternal energy, but more like mama bear than like soft lullaby singer. Mm-hmm. Like she's tough. And I would say she would describe herself that way. She's likable in a certain sense in that she's a straight shooter. She doesn't want to engage in nonsense. And she puts her husband and kids first above all else. And, you know, we really love when housewives do that.
Right.
And I should say all housewives say they do that, but she really seems to. Her kids are older when we meet them. They're like late teens, like post high school into their early 20s. And helping them launch and kind of find their way in the world really is like her mission. And more on that later. And this is really a characteristic among Real Housewives of New Jersey, this family first kind of mentality. Teresa famously calls it this old school Italian, quote unquote, where you cook, you clean, you take care of your husband. take care of your kids, and then you get bubbies and you spend all the money your husband earns.
About that.
Remember that? Like, yeah. I think that might have been the very first season. Like,
yeah.
Teresa, you need bubbies, everyone told her. And so she just one day she didn't have them and then next day she did.
She did. I don't remember a Teresa without bubbies.
Go back and look. It's really like, wow.
Yeah.
She looked great. It is, like all of these shows, so interesting to go back to the beginning of time and how the lighting changes mm-hmm. in the show. Maybe there's fillers involved now. People's hair is definitely lighter. Yeah, really interesting. 2009 looks like it's a lot longer ago than it actually right. was. So Caroline really personifies this old school Italian way of life. And we also meet her younger sister, Dina. Dina is also a straight shooter, but she's a little more sarcastic than Caroline, a little softer, not like she's a pushover or reserved or, right. or sweet. I wouldn't call her sweet, but she's not as like in your face as Caroline. She takes a little bit of a shadow role to her.
Do you have a favorite sister?
Out of the two of them?
Yeah, out of the two of them.
Dina.
Okay, yeah, thank you. Yeah. Obviously.
I was going to save my thoughts and commentary till the end.
I'm sorry.
No. I love that you asked because I have bigger feelings about Caroline than I thought I did.
Ooh, okay.
So okay. Hands down, Dina. You same?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Dina. I thought she was so likable on this show.
I love Dina.
I was so sad when, you know, housewives come and go. And so they're not on there forever. And I was really sad when she left. Like, I don't know. She was one I wanted to keep on.
So Dina and Caroline, like I mentioned before, married brothers Albert and Tommy Manzo. Albert was a big presence on the show, right? He was the dad of the three kids, Caroline's husband, and of course, owner of the iconic Brownstone Manor, most commonly referred to as the Brownstone, sometimes just the Manor. The Brownstone Manor is an elite event venue in Paterson, New Jersey, which was left to him and his brother Tommy by their parents. More about them a little later. Behind me, this elegant ballroom, complete with crystal chandeliers and custom lighting. This is what you get when you have an event at the Brownstone. I mean, the Brownstone is almost like another person on the show, wouldn't you say?
Oh, totally. Yeah.
It's like where all the major events happen, and it's always being talked about. And that will be true today as well.
Even more than Cut Fitness in Orange County, right?
Please. I can't think of a location that rivals the Brownstone on a franchise.
Sonia's townhouse. And
yeah,
that's
the townhouse.
About it.
The townhouse still this and the Brownstone.
One is huge. Like this, you hear about it all the time. Like until you mentioned that, I forgot how much that was a part of events happening there, people going there, people talking about it. It was like another character. You're right.
Yeah. All in the family. But Dina's husband, Tommy, he was never on the show. We did not see him. And when we meet Caroline and Dina in season one, we see a very close pair of sisters, right? Caroline herself described the family as thick as thieves. That's like the resounding quote from her that's endured all these many years later. They're thick as thieves. And it echoes this constant reference Teresa's always making about the Godfather and you don't go against the family. Big theme in New Jersey, right? More than any other franchise.
Which is interesting because Beverly Hills has the Richards sisters and you don't get this kind of energy from it at all.
It's a great distinction. And it doesn't give me like warm, fuzzy family vibes. Like, wow, these sisters really. No, it gives me very like mob wives energy.
Yeah.
And I don't think I'm saying anything that hasn't been said before. So this episode could get me in trouble, but I've been very careful in the way I'm stating it. And I am not the first to have probably made that analogy.
We will point fingers if we need to.
Yes, we will also make disclaimers at the end. Just wait. You'll be very pleased with what I've written. But in season two, there's a rift between Caroline and Dina. And it's happened off camera. We don't really know what happened, but it's alluded to a lot on the show. And if you ask either of them now, mostly Dina, she'll just say it was the pressure of heightened storylines put on them. Things that existed before the show were amplified and there was sister jealousy, right? And I mean, this is always like a classic answer, like she's just jealous. But Dina did say the jealousy was increasing.
Yeah.
I think Dina used to be the more quiet, passive one of the two. And Dina's star was kind of rising alongside Caroline's. Yeah. And she was coming into her own, especially as her marriage to Tommy started to disintegrate. And I think it caused a problem between her and Caroline. So like you said, Dina did end up leaving before the second season even ended.
Oh, wow.
She was out after episode 7. So Dina and Tommy had a tough relationship. They split up in 2012, but I have a feeling, will know that they were actually on a reality show that predates Real Housewives of New Jersey by a couple of years. Do you know which one it is?
Was it Say Yes to the Dress? Or
very close.
It was a wedding something.
Yes, yes, it was a wedding show. I didn't know this. So it was VH1's My Big Fat Fabulous Wedding.
Okay.
Where you get to watch Dina and Tommy get married. Guess where?
The Brownstone.
Yes. And, you know, I was as shocked as anyone when they split up, because VH1 really captured this once in a lifetime love with moments like Dina telling Tommy no other woman would put up with his crap and that she is like the only woman who could endure such things. And Yikes. Then him responding by laughing and reminding her that, quote, just bring out the checkbook. Lots of girls would put up with this.
Okay,
so he was sweet.
Wrong. Yeah.
So they were married for 7 years, split in 2012, but didn't finalize their divorce until 2016. It was long and messy. And it's said that Dina actually officially ended it. Tommy didn't want to end it. And that the relationship had been volatile for years. And he made the divorce proceedings incredibly difficult for her.
That's like Jason and Bethany numbers.
Yes.
For a divorce really, that's really dragging along.
Yeah. And I'm sure there's like a lot of financial components.
Sure.
Fortunately, they didn't have a child together. And I say fortunately, meaning like at least there wasn't custody issues.
Right.
Dina did have Lexi, who I also really enjoyed.
Love.
From a previous relationship. But they had no children together. So during this split, pre-divorce, but after split, Dina begins dating a millionaire named Dave Canton. And everywhere I read lists him as a millionaire, and I don't know exactly what he does. He's been described as a strategist, entrepreneur, and philanthropist, all of which seem like red flags to me, yeah. That there's no like industry noted. Right. Or
would you like me to start that rumor about you online? I can
please
do it.
Get me a Wikipedia page and be like Rebecca Sebastian, strategist.
Yeah. Don't we need like a, what is it, Dumoy or one of the?
Dumois.
Oh, see,
that's yeah.
No. I had a person reading it.
I had to think about it.
I think we can do it. We can do it. We'll push it. Or yeah. We'll get signatures. We can do something. I don't know.
Yeah, you could even link out to the donations I've actually made. They'll be like, wow, she gave $25 to Children Against Cancer. Yeah, I mean, what an angel.
We'll take this picture right now with you in the brownstone. She hobnobs with the best of them. I mean, we've got it.
Yeah.
I've got a whole profile for you.
Perfect. And then we'll just wait for my downfall.
Absolutely. I'll cover it.
It's good to know what will happen when that happens. Good to know who your friends are. So she actually will end up marrying Dave in 2017. This wedding, her third, which Dina calls the lucky charm, third one's the charm, would not be at the Brownstone because at this point she is not on speaking terms with Caroline, and she still isn't to this day. This wedding was small. It was on the beach. Oh, we should go back to the VH1 show. The title denotes Big Fat Fabulous Wedding. This was like a $1 million wedding. The whole show was about just over the top weddings and all the drama around
it. Yeah.
So when you juxtapose it to this one with Dave, it was in Malibu where they share a home. They have a home in New Jersey and Malibu. Sign me up for that lifestyle, please. Bi-coastal's
the goal. I'm telling you, du moi will be how you get it.
The overemphasis on moi really, really nails it for you. You're like almost French.
So close.
So they have this very small on-the-beach wedding, like 30 people. She wears a dress that was already in her closet. She put a little flower in her hair that she picked. The picture is beautiful, and honestly, like she looks genuinely happy. And it's just really interesting to see the difference.
Right.
That maybe this is about something different than that first wedding was.
Right.
Who am I to judge?
Well, we have a podcast, so yeah, that's part of the job.
So get an opinion. Okay, good. So this wedding happened in June of 2017, and people did wonder if the speed at which the wedding happened was maybe inspired by the events of May 2017, which is when Dina and David were the victims of a terrible home invasion. Do you remember hearing about this?
I remember hearing about it and then like when it happened and then that's it. It sounded terrifying, but I don't remember any details from it.
Yeah, same. And it feels like, again, that Kim Kardashian story where it's like, how could we hear that something so huge and awful happened, which I'm going to tell you, and then nothing? It's really odd. And I guess when an investigation starts, things quiet down because the press doesn't get new information while it's being investigated. So it kind of makes sense. But the couple entered their New Jersey home after an evening out and they got inside and there were two masked individuals already inside.
Oh,
and the two of them rushed Dina and David. One struck David with a baseball bat on his face, torso, and legs. The other one struck Dina, not with weapons, just was like punching her. And then they tied them together with zip ties, took $500 cash, jewelry, including the $60,000 engagement ring from Dina's finger, and left, which is just so violent and like, it's already such an invasion, but doesn't that just feel so personal and scary? And
you would totally expect them to take jewelry from everywhere else, but to take it off of her finger feels like, when they talk about crimes being personal or whatever, like that feels like a more personal thing to do.
Oh my gosh. Absolutely. And she had just been proposed to 2 weeks prior. So, this was just so sad and highly, highly personal. The couple called the police to report the incident and both were hurt. David had more severe injuries and did have to go to the hospital. David told the police that one of the men said to him, "That's what you get for effing with a guy from Patterson." So the investigation begins and guess who they find is allegedly behind the attack.
Can I have a real guess?
Please, okay. Yeah.
I thought it was her ex-husband. I thought it was Tommy that they ended up finding out.
It but sure
isn't
was.
That recent that we find out about
yes.
that? Okay, sorry. Your story.
No, I love how in the know you are. You are exactly right, Tommy Manzo, and you're doubly right. It was just this year in May of 2021 that Tommy Manzo was arrested and charged as an accomplice in the home invasion robbery. It's believed that he hired a man named James Minello as one of the two men who did the actual robbery. It's unclear if the second assailant was caught and charged. I'm not sure why. It's a little confusing. I read everything I could about it. But do you want to know why it's confusing, Melissa?
Yeah, I'd love to.
Because 2 years prior to this home invasion in 2015, a year before their divorce was finalized, Tommy Manzo allegedly stalked Dina and David and hired John Perna, who is a well-known alleged member of the Lucchese crime family. This is all according to the New York Post, who assaulted David in July of 2015. This wasn't even the first story where this happened. Yeah. So back in 2015, before I think people really like put David and Dina together, they weren't engaged, but they were dating.
Right.
He did the same thing. He hired a guy to beat the crap out of him at a strip mall in Passaic County, New Jersey. He attacked him with a small club. The man, John Perna, and Manzo both pled not guilty. Now, as for the stalking behavior, according to Dina's lawyer, 300 pages of searches with her name and David's name came up on Tommy Manzo's computer. Now, not 300 results, 300 pages of results, which is why he actually got charged with stalking. But
oh my gosh.
I know. Not only did it involve David and Dina, searches were also included for the location of David's 8-year-old son's Little League game locations.
Oh my. What on earth?
In response, Tommy said those searches were not stalking, but preparation for a lawsuit he was sure David was going to file against him, as he should. He has a permanent scar on his face from the beating in 2015. So I think it's interesting to note that Tommy doesn't even deny them or say it was someone else or
right. It's
not what you think. It's like, no, I did those, but it was in prep for a lawsuit, which is nonsense because I don't know why you would need a kid's. I don't even want to.
Yeah.
Give energy to like what you would need for that. It's
right.
Really, really disturbing
yeah.
and alarming and dark. Yes. So to keep with the wedding theme, the icing on the cake is this John Perna guy, a known Lucchese family affiliate. He took this job in exchange for something. What, would you maybe guess he wanted and was willing to do this for?
So help me, if it was to have his wedding at the Brownstone.
Melissa, you're so brilliant. I can't even.
You set me up for that, though, because you said wedding and stuff, and this is clearly demented. Oh, my gosh.
We need a picture change. Please hold while we just go to the exterior of this magical.
Whoa. Yeah,
I mean, the Brownstone is no, it's no slouch. That means a person.
You're not hitting anybody with a baseball bat for that.
Yeah. Yeah, he did this for a deeply discounted wedding at the Brownstone Manor.
Discounted? Didn't even get it for free?
That's what I said. Yeah.
You need to learn how to negotiate.
Right? You would think he knew, given his background. This guy's facing up to 30 years in prison for a wedding that wasn't even free.
Can I guess if he's still married? Is he still married? He's not still married. There's no way.
Oh, what a great question. I wish I knew. I do know the wedding happened the next month. 330 people attended, including several members of the Lucchese family, according to the FBI. We'll follow up and find out if he's still married. But God, it would be just more icing Instagram on the cake. Story. Yeah. Exactly. We'll find out.
Dumois. Oh
my God. Well, we'll definitely tag Dumois. What do those close to the show and family say about these horrific attacks on Dina and her boyfriend, now husband? Well, here's a quote from a woman anyone who watched The Real Housewives of New Jersey will recognize. Owner of Posh, stirrer of you-know-what, Kim D. Yeah.
I love that we never get her last name. It's just her initial. Like there's four Kims in her class.
I know. It's so true. Like, the equivalent now is like Liam C, like in right, your kid's right. class, like, cause there's so many. Kim, it's De Paola or Paola.
Okay, I'm good with D.
Who cares? Kim it. D, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So she says, here's the thing. I'm not gonna do.
Oh, I was hoping. No, I felt like you were going for it.
I don't think I have a Kim D in me.
Well,
I do
that's
have a Caroline
good.
Manzo, but I don't, okay. Anyway, here's what she said. Here's the thing. Tommy is actually not a bad guy. He's mild-mannered, very lovely to people at the Brownstone. I think it was a man thing. They want what they can't have. He didn't want Dina when she was starving for attention and dying for his love, but when she leaves him and goes off with a new, younger guy, his ego couldn't take it. He got too wrapped up. That's my take. Thanks, Kim.
That sounds exactly like the second person interviewed on any Law & Order episode, like the barkeep that's wiping yeah. the thing off.
Who's not at all involved, but is like... Here's my professional insight. Yeah. Also, she said this statement was in support of Dina. And I was like, we have different interpretations and definitions of what support looks like, because this sounds very victim blamey. And also, it sounds very like from an accepted culture of like men will be men. Like,
right.
You know what I mean?
Totally.
Like, and there was a lot of commentary among people around them that said like there was this kind of if Tommy couldn't have her, nobody could kind of feeling from him. And yeah, I would say that we're seeing the results of that.
Now, was he married before? Do you know that? He had another. Oh, no, he didn't have a kid. The other guy, David, had a kid.
David as a child. I don't know, but he was like 50 something when they got married. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if he'd had previous marriages.
Right. Yeah.
But I don't know. Again, we're going to add that to the follow up.
I'm sorry. I always have too many questions.
No, this is like a place to bring all your questions. So honestly, what Kim D thinks is practically irrelevant. I just had to include it because she's like, that's like her whole thing is inserting herself into the show where she doesn't actually belong. Because the indictment against Tommy Manzo in both cases surfaced in 2020 and is playing out this year. For some reason, both of these cases are now awaiting trial. And I do not understand what the time lapse was or whatever. I get the sense they took the 2015 one more seriously after the home invasion happened.
Yeah.
And maybe they're, you know, reinvestigating. I'm not sure. But it made headlines again because Caroline has written a letter of support to the judge presiding over the case in support of her brother-in-law, Tommy, calling him a kind and caring man.
Ooh.
So the thickest thieves comment, the family first. I mean, he isn't blood. Like,
right.
So it's kind of flying in the face of her whole MO. And she told the New York Post, quote, "This is family on both sides. I want to know the truth and my allegiance will lie with the truth. We don't run from things like this. We address them. And I feel comfortable with that because we are being painted with a brush that does not reflect who we are as people." That wasn't great. But it was like
so good. I was tearing up. That was amazing. And your commitment was really unparalleled.
I had to go with it. It wasn't great. I'll keep working on it.
Our show has been around for more than 3 years now, which is really something to celebrate. But when I think back over all of our episodes, one that really sticks in my mind, of course, is the one about the bling ring. There were literally teenagers breaking into the homes of celebrities and stealing thousands, if not millions of dollars worth of items. There is just something so scary about someone being in your home without your knowledge, even beyond just having your things taken. And that's why when it comes to home security, I only trust my home to SimpliSafe. SimpliSafe isn't just some old fly-by-night security system. It was actually named the best home security systems 2024 by the U.S. News & World Report. On top of that, Newsweek named it Best Customer Service and Home Security, which is really huge because if my house or the people that are in it are in jeopardy, I want to know that I'm speaking with people who are there to help me. We've had SimpliSafe in my house for several years now, and Rebecca got her system last year, and there's a lot of comfort in knowing that I have indoor and outdoor cameras all around the house. And if you aren't sure whether it's something you'd actually use, you should definitely give it a try. There are no contracts and a 60-day money-back guarantee. SimpliSafe has given me and many of our listeners real peace of mind. We want you to have it too. Get 20% off any new SimpliSafe system when you sign up for Fast Protect Monitoring. Just visit simplisafe.com/criminality. That's simplisafe.com/criminality. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
So she says we're being painted with a brush that does not reflect who we are as people. So what brush is she referring to? It's the mafia brush. And this is where the disclaimers will start. Rumors, whispers, and rumblings of Caroline's husband, Albert's father, and his alleged connection to the mob are nothing new for the Manzos. Danielle brought it up on the first reunion, and Caroline and Albert have always vehemently denied any family connection to the mafia. So maybe it's me, or maybe it's all the Sopranos I've been watching.
Oh, yeah.
But I did a little digging, and you really don't need to dig that far, like shallow graves depth, just to keep it on brand, to verify the strong possibility that Albert Manzo's father was a known mob enforcer with the Genovese family. Do you know what a mob enforcer is?
No.
I didn't either. It's a mafia member who performs contract killings or is charged with keeping dissident members obedient. So it's not like a messenger.
Right.
It is, but of like a serious.
Here's
like
the message
is, yeah.
Yeah.
The message usually involves weapons or hands. Albert's father was also named Albert, but nobody called him that. He was short. He weighed 350 pounds, and he went by a nickname. Want to guess? You're like 2 for 2.
I want to say little something.
Yeah, you're very close. Oh, tiny Manzo. Please hold. Yeah, little tiny Manzo. I mean, may he rest in peace. We're getting there.
I mean, hi, Tiny.
Yeah, the Italians have, you know,
I don't really think
like a Manzo
looks like. Yeah. I don't see it.
So this is Tiny Manzo, and all the mafia information I got is via Mike Russell, a New Jersey state police officer who went undercover to infiltrate an organized crime syndicate. He saw 54 arrests and 48 convictions in 1986 alone.
Whoa.
So in this book, Russell talks a lot about Tiny Manzo, and he says, quote, he was the biggest mob enforcer in Jersey and everyone knew it. But we can't ask Tiny about his career. I also wouldn't recommend it if we could.
Oh, my gosh. I know. I thought you were going to say, and now bringing up Tiny.
Our first call-in guest. but he unfortunately was found dead in the trunk of his car in 1983. He was executed mob style. I will spare the gory details. But this happened just a year before Albert and Caroline actually got married, which happened the summer of 1984. In fact, Caroline says Albert was so distraught over his dad's death, it's why they got engaged so soon. He needed to focus on something positive, and it's probably a way to distract himself from the grief and kind of make sense.
That's a lot.
Yeah. According to Mike Russell, Fat Tiny Manzo was skimming money from a Staten Island casino. He was also constantly needling one of the mob's top soldiers, end quote. So most people related either in the mob or close to the family think it was a payback killing. But for the record, it is unsolved and nobody has claimed responsibility. Nobody has been charged with it. Interesting fact, after Tiny passed away, his wife, Albert's mother, was denied the like $500,000 life insurance policy because the insurance company found out that he lied on the application saying he didn't have diabetes when he on the record absolutely did.
Oh, wow.
And the claim was filed very shortly before his 1983 death. So I don't know if he knew something was coming or suspected, but they had not had a long period of time of having that insurance policy, and she didn't end up getting it anyway.
Oh, wow.
Again, for the record, Caroline and Albert Manzo unequivocally deny any connection or association to the mafia on Albert's father's side. She says to the Daily News, "I will not give credence to mafia talk. Tiny Manzo was a good man, a family man. His death remains a mystery." I don't know. I think she's leaving out a lot of things in that statement, which is smart. Right. Like, believe what people tell you. He probably was a good family man. So was Tony Soprano, right? His death remains a mystery. Also true.
You've really watched too much Sopranos.
I know. I'm a Tony Soprano sympathizer. But she doesn't say he never committed crimes or killed anyone, right? Like, interesting to me. The Daily Beast had a lengthy interview with Caroline about the mafia connections in a 2009 interview, and she emphatically denies again any connection on her husband's father's part. But Mike Russell, again, whose career was spent taking down the Genovese family, probably knew it better than most people in law enforcement,
right,
says her statements are simply not true. In his book, he refers to Robert Buccino, another 46-year veteran of law enforcement who charged more than 450 made members of the mafia group. And he knew Tiny Manzo. He was well known in the Patterson area, he tells Mike Russell, and his association with organized crime was well known. As far as his family goes, his sons, daughters, there's no allegations about them that we know of, but the father certainly was a player in the scene with organized crime. So this is what I've learned from an interview I did with a prosecutor in New York City who prosecuted a lot of the mafia guys, and also from The Sopranos. Just because they aren't charged or found out doesn't mean they didn't do it. Like, a lot of these people involved in the mob have a lifelong career there.
Right.
And they're lucky. Like, they just, you know what I mean? And sometimes the authorities can't charge them without evidence. And a lot of what they do, they don't touch themselves. So I'm just saying, just because he didn't have a record of being charged with anything doesn't mean he wasn't. Also doesn't mean he was. Like, obviously this is alleged.
Yeah, yeah.
They said he was gregarious. This is Tiny. And well-liked. He even ran for mayor in 1974. He ran as a law and order candidate who advocated for public hangings.
In 1974?
Correct. In New Jersey, mind you.
What was happening in 1974?
I wasn't born. I take no responsibility.
We're babies. Wasn't born.
I was not long after. The only real recorded possible sketchy law thing.
I like that.
That's the official description, was that there was a possible collusion in the awarding of demolition contracts during this unsuccessful bid to become mayor. So he probably, I don't know, that's what the mafia did, right? They had these businesses and they heavy armed, strong armed.
Yeah. I like heavy armed.
Very heavy armed, you know, people into working with them.
Right. Okay.
They didn't have a choice. So that's the only thing they really officially know he did. So again, for the record, Tiny Manzo's murder, unsolved. Tiny Manzo never charged with any crimes you might expect a mobster to be charged with. So I'm not saying he was a member of the mafia, but as Danny Pellegrino might say, I am implying it. So let's go back to more present day. Sadly, oddly, this is not the only mafia connection to the Manzos. And I really think, like, this family, if it isn't true, like, geez, they just can't shake it, right?
Right.
So you remember the kids we talked about, Albie, Chris, and Lauren. And if you watched the show, which you did, you'll remember that Lauren meets one of Albie's college roommates, Vito.
Right.
Vito Scalia. And Lauren and Vito meet, date, eventually marry. Now they have a super cute daughter, actually.
So cute.
Yeah. I think it's like Marquesa or something really pretty. So tragically, in January of 2016, a man named Matthew Genovese, note the name, a relative of Vito Scalia, went missing in Hoboken, New Jersey. So cast members, including Caroline and all the kids, tweeted the missing poster asking for help and prayers to find this young guy. Sadly, his body turned up just days later in the Hudson River. His ID, cash cards, everything's still on him. But because of his last name and who his family is, there are a lot of suspicious factors around his death, which is still unsolved 5 years later. Yeah, so sad. And I will say, in rewatching, I did not watch the whole show. No, I didn't even get through the whole season. I watched some different episodes for reference. And there is, and I'd like to remind listeners who don't know me, I'm half Italian and I'm from New Jersey. There's more violence on that show than the other franchises. There's just an explosive.
Yeah.
There's a lot of anger, a lot of feelings, a lot of beautiful feelings. Like, they don't shy away from what they're thinking and feeling, but there's a lot of fights. Like, you know, I mean, we got the table flip from Teresa. There's also like big fractures in family relationships.
Yeah.
And, you know, I have to say, again, as a Jersey Italian, like, I've seen that in my own life. Like, they love big and they also will cut ties over what seem like silly things. And sometimes it is business, because this is a family of entrepreneurs and they go into business together, and that gets complicated when you're mixing money and making different choices. So that is the primary story I wanted to share with you. The clues I gave, if you remember, were family and robbery, and that was covered. But there was a third one, and it was deli meat. And I'd like to talk about that one and end on a slightly lighter note. And yes, we can circle back now to Tina Fey.
I remembered was deli and the sandwiches.
I'm going to go back to Brownstone because we're done looking at Tiny. So the deli meat came from the game that the Manzo kids started. Do you remember this? The ham game? They would just throw ham at each other in the kitchen. And I can't remember if it was Chris or Albie, but I want to say it was Chris. Seems like more of a Chris. He was more like the clown, like jokester one of the three kids. But yeah, that's literally it. They just would throw deli meat, specifically ham, at each other. And it was funny and like just one of their weird like scenes in the kitchen. So the ham game, but the kids and their businesses, like I said, they're a family of entrepreneurs, and Albert and Caroline were very supportive of them, always like helping them in whatever way. They had dreams. We've got Lauren and the beauty stores, you know, which started small, and she really grew those into something. There was the idea for the stripper car wash, if you remember, with Chris and Albie, who wanted to have strippers at a car wash. Law school was a big dream of Albie's that unfortunately, sadly, got kind of foiled because he was diagnosed with a learning disability in law school, and it was just too hard to complete law school. So they came up with something else, you know, because again, these are entrepreneurs.
Right.
And I think it's worth talking about a product that's come up, not even in this episode, but in a prior one of your stories. We're talking, of course, about bottled water. And it's the only one that I'm aware of that is black. And that's BLK, black,
of course.
So there's a little fun story, if you will, and a little controversy around black water. Did you know?
No.
Did you care?
I knew I was never going to drink it. It looked like charcoal water, and even I can't get involved in that.
I don't know why you wouldn't want to drink water infused with a proprietary blend of fulvic and humic acid, Melissa. That's weird.
Was that a selling point?
Oh, yeah. It's
that feels like a disclaimer.
It sounds like disease.
Yeah.
So it temporarily darkens the water before the minerals settle to the bottom of the glass. And it is supposed to be good for your digestive system and like have more nutrients. I think you kind of are. Like, when I read fulvic and humic acid, I think of like ash. I don't know what it is. But yeah, they had this amazing idea, or so we thought, for black water. And much was made of it in season 3 when they partnered with Chris Lurita. He's in the wholesale apparel industry, but he wanted another business venture that his kids, his younger two boys that he has with Jacqueline, could eventually take over. And so they started a PR group, the name of which is escaping me right now. It's something with a star. And he brings in Chris and Albie and a couple of their friends who don't seem to contribute much at all. And they want to launch BLK, Blackwater. So there's some controversy over who really is responsible for this water. If you ask Team Blackwater, Albie, Chris, and Chris Larita say they partnered with two sisters named Jacqueline. So confusing, not Jacqueline Larita.
Yeah, and we've got a second Chris. This is so much.
I know. And Louise Wilkie, not to be confused with Kathy.
Dana.
Well, oh. Dana Wilkie or Kathy Wykeely, or I don't know what her last name is.
Yeah.
I read Wilkie and thought of Kathy. It was very confusing. Two completely unrelated women, although they are sisters, of course, who came up with this product as a healing remedy for their sick mother. Somehow they crossed paths with Chris. They decided to partner with this PR group that Chris Larita and the boys had formed to bring the product to market. Well, a Canada-based marketing company called Creative Thinker said they actually thought of the idea and partnered with the sisters, creating a copyright, a patent, all of it.
Oh, wow.
And they're now accusing the two women and the Real Housewives of New Jersey cast members for stealing the idea, and they are in a lawsuit over this. So basically, I think the two women did have a partnership deal with someone else, and then they were like, ooh, Real Housewives of New Jersey wants it. Like, that'll be on TV. I think that's really what happened. And so they're getting sued, and then there's a countersuit. I have no idea what the resolution is. I don't really think anyone's on the edge of their seat to know. Blackwater still exists.
Two quarters? I just can't imagine anybody's made a penny off of this.
Amazon.com. You can go get Blackwater right now. It is still for sale, but the guys are not mentioned on the website at all. So I think it's been sold to someone else. They are busy with other businesses. They have moved on. So I guess Caroline was wrong when she was quoted in that episode about the launch of Blackwater saying, "Tonight, my sons take the world by storm. It's their time." Okay. It's like a little dramatic.
It's Blackwater. What are you really doing here? Like giving people dirty looking teeth? I don't understand.
I know, but she's
I'm ordering some now that I know it's on Amazon. I will try it.
Oh, let's do like a live taste test.
Fine. No, yeah, let's
I'm
do
serious.
It.
I want to watch you drink it.
I'll do it.
And I want you to watch me drink it. Is that weird?
Yeah. Now it's taking a turn.
It's getting dark. More figuratively.
More for Dumois.
Oh my gosh. So yeah, the good, the bad, and the ugly, as the words of my former New Jersey senator would say, this is my New Jersey. That was his campaign slogan.
Oh.
But yeah, this is my New Jersey. Those are my stories for you. Other reality shows connected to the show, the spinoff, of course, they got Manzoed with Children.
Yeah. I hate all spinoffs.
I do too.
Rules is... And Winter House. I love Winter House. Those are the only two that I
those are
I
good exceptions.
Accept. Yeah.
Yeah. We mentioned My Big Fat Fabulous Wedding with Dina. She also got an HGTV show after Housewives called Dina's Party because she was like a decorator and a party planner.
Yeah.
And so she had a short-lived party there. And did you know there was another quasi spinoff, but it was still on Bravo, which I guess isn't that weird, called Teresa Checks In?
I absolutely want nothing to do with that.
There's only three episodes, and it just filmed the whole family responding to when Teresa went to prison.
I can't.
Because the show wasn't about that enough. They needed an entirely different show. I didn't watch it.
Mm-mm. I would rather see the clip of Joe screaming, "That's my father!"
Oh, man. And remember,
that was emotional.
That was. I mean, I rewatched some of these things, and I was like, you know, this show has some heart. It is like ridiculous and over the top.
And steroids.
Allegedly. Allegedly. Let's be honest. If there is steroid use, that would explain some of the fighting. But I was watching the episode where Joe and Melissa go to her book signing and she's like inscribing the book to him and she's tearing up because they're kind of estranged. And
yeah.
It's real. Like they're, you know, I'm sure there are some like actual plot points that are manufactured, but I think the undercurrent of the different relationship fractures were real. And we really saw that. And
yeah.
I always, you know, I can't help but be moved by that. The show also gave us, of course, we mentioned the flip, but it gave us Gia and it gave us the legendary song that's now like a hit.
How crazy is that? That became, because I was more into the beginning verses, first year one and then you were two. those are the ones, sometimes you have to rest your toes. Those are the lines I need.
I love a sequential song, you know, like a chronological one I can follow. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, now the whole world can, if there's nothing we can agree on, it's, you know, we can all sing that song together.
Yeah.
Waking up in the morning, thinking about so many things. I just wish things would get better.
I love it so much.
Yeah.
Feel like, and we have Melania. Melania calling her dad a troll. The old troll.
Oh my gosh.
I love it.
The kids when they were little, hysterical. So again, good. I watched last night Juicy Joe, not Joe.
Oh, I forgot that was his name. Yeah, I hate it
Juicy
so much.
Joe. Ugh. When he did a flip on the gymnastics mat after Gia and chipped his tooth, and Gia starts screaming bloody murder. Like, the show is so unhinged sometimes. I'm like, there's so much going on, but God, I love it. Yeah, so that is a crime, so and some legal shenanigans that all happened in New Jersey.
Whoa. Like I said, I knew of the break-in, but I didn't know any of the details, and I didn't understand the connection. I mean, they really started just talking about it this year, but how
it's
wild.
So bizarre. I know, and they're awaiting trial. So that's either New Jersey or New York. I guess it's not federal. It'll probably be New Jersey. Like, I definitely might maybe want to go.
It's so wild to me, though, that Caroline would write a letter. I understand not taking a stand on it and just being like, I've got family on both sides. This is really complicated. I don't know what happened, but to write a letter in support of him. Oof.
Also, before sentencing, it's such a weird strategy. It's like, I don't know. I mean, I guess, you know, I,
sure,
it is really weird.
There too.
And it says a lot. It really says a lot. So whatever happened between the sisters, it's like very deep, mm-hmm. and it's really sad. But it seems like Dina and her husband are very happy.
That's good.
I'm sure there's some...
I'd be terrified,
residual
though.
Fear, yeah, and some trauma. But my gosh, I do think they're good. And that's it. Yeah.
Yeah. Nice job, Rebecca. I enjoyed that. Thank you.
Yeah, it felt really Thanksgiving-y. I've got to know... You said you were watching a lot and watching more. I know we both were kind of like reaching last episode. I feel like, I don't know, life was in a place where we weren't watching as much. What, let me guess what you're watching.
I mean, I don't even want to give you clues because I think you already know what I was watching.
Are we watching the same thing? Because we've been talking
we're
about
watching
it
the
on
same
text.
Thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you say one word, I'll say the other.
Okay. Ready? Netflix.
Oh, okay. I was going to do the title. Yeah. Real estate.
Okay. Oh, yeah, you just, okay, what am
so,
I doing?
But we're getting into
the clues, everybody
else. You say
else.
Sunset. Oh.
Selling Sunset. Yay, yes, that's, we've both.
Just, let's not bury the lead here.
Yeah,
go. We have not been able to stop texting about Selling Sunset. So,
no.
Weak start. I thought episode one was embarrassing.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I watched with my mom and daughter and, like, had hyped it up, and we were like,
that's tough.
And my mom was like, I don't know. I'm like, please give it time. And then it did. It got better.
It did. I was telling Rebecca at the end of the final episode, Netflix restarted episode one, season one, and I got to see all their original faces, which was wild. Heather does not look like the same person at all. I didn't even realize her transformation had been
Like it happened very subtly, but this is not a long passage of time. Like,
no.
I expect to go back to 2009 New Jersey Housewives and see everyone's different old original noses and like bad fake tans and terrible hair.
Still have those.
Yeah, but I don't expect it on Selling Sunset because they're also, they're starting off so beautiful.
Right, yeah.
And then they're just tweaking and tweaking to the point of like non-recognition.
Yeah. For sure. So this season, we're coming off of Chrishell's divorce, and I love Chrishell. I will love her until the day I die.
She is clearly the darling of the show.
She's so great. Well, even I saw her post something with like all the countries that it's number one in, and everyone her picture was in, like they always have her as like the face of it. And, you know, they'll have
it's
other
a pretty
ones,
adorable face.
She's so cute.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love her. And then, so she's coming off her divorce. Christine had her baby and she's showing us how she does yoga. She comes out, I don't know, you know, I've had a lot of feelings about how she's presenting herself right after having a baby, which good for you. You can be a hot little thing. But I had my daughter around the same time Kate Middleton had her first child, like within like a week. And you know how they like parade her outside and she's wearing a dress. And I'm in like, you know, the mesh underwear, just
maternity pants, yeah, still.
Just because you're squirting a bottle on myself of water just to feel something. And babies, you know, baby all over my chest, vomit, everything. And she's standing out there like that. And I just remember feeling like crap seeing that. So I can't even imagine seeing this totally insane version of a brand new mom who's not mentioning the nannies and all the makeup. Like, she's not mentioning any of that. None of this is real life.
Sorry, I didn't
mean to do that.
No, I think you are speaking for the people. And it's like this weird tension of like, good for her. Like, if she bounced back and has all that help, that's great. It's just not really how it goes for most women. And I'll never forget, because I had my kids super young and my midwife telling me, like, you're the perfect age to have kids. You're like how old they used to be, like,
right.
In other centuries. And I did bounce back really quick, especially with my first. But even then, I remember at like 6 and 8 weeks feeling like, oh, I'm back to normal. And that was fast.
Yeah, yeah.
We're talking, she was like 2 weeks postpartum from a surgery, from a C-section, which is very different. But here's the thing. Your stomach can be flat again. You know, you could like technically lose the weight, but things shift. And like your feet look different. Your legs, your face, everything looks different. And like, just nothing looks different. It's like an illusion. It really is like a head scratcher. I have to be honest. And when she's like pushing the stroller in this one, like later episode, I'm like, it just doesn't look right. It's just, I know. And I'm being so judgmental and I can't help it because she is also so awful.
Yeah, she's awful. That's where I don't feel so bad.
Also, like, she doesn't want to cop to, you know, the women wanted to confront her about past behaviors. And she's like, I don't have time for this. I am happily married with a baby. Like, I've moved on. You guys move on. And it's like, that's not how it works.
No.
It's not a free pass. You've hurt people. You continue to hurt people. And I continue to love this show. Here for the Real Estate. Did you finish the season?
I finished, yes.
I did too. And it ended so abruptly. I thought for sure there was one more episode and there wasn't.
Yeah. Well, and they did. One thing they do with Selling Sunset that I don't feel like they do on other shows is they give us a preview for the next season. Like, we're already getting a preview for what comes next. It's not a lot.
Right. Are you referring to Chrishell and, and Jason?
Tiny Tim.
Tiny Manzo.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I would love a picture of Tiny Manzo and Tiny Oppenheim next to each other.
Tiny
Oppenheim. Yeah. So we just have to watch that play out in real life. I also want to say one thing. Have you ever liked someone more on a show than you do on social media or vice versa?
Are you talking about Chrishell?
No, I'm talking about Heather.
Oh.
Don't enjoy her social media. I kind of enjoy her on this season.
I enjoyed her this season. I didn't even want to tell you that because I know how much we both don't like her social media.
Way. I was like, I'm going to be embarrassed to bring this to Melissa because we have shared words about her social, but she's kind of pretty great on the show.
I know. I really actually enjoyed her. I was totally confused. We both love Amanza.
Amanza's story is huge, and obviously they don't want it to like dominate the show because it's like pretty heavy.
It's sad, yeah.
But my gosh, that woman is going through it.
She is. She seems like one of the most genuine people I think on there, and most are not genuine at all.
She really does. I hope she gets a little more airtime, and I hope she like grows more into the show, like to be more like the staple. And then Davina's back.
Ugh.
And I don't know if you saw late last night, I posted on our Instagram.
I commented on it.
Oh, you did?
But as us, so that was confusing.
I might have just... It does get confusing when you're like, don't recall saying something. But Davina came first. So it was Mary, the Davina of The Real Housewives. Like, they both have the same... I noticed myself feeling the same way when they're on camera, which is like watching between like my fingers.
Yeah.
Like, what are they going to say? They're so awkward. Like, she looks like someone who's just not meant to be on TV. And I don't know how else to say it.
And she's like dressing like Christine now, but she's pretty tall. So she's got like the same thing I do, where if I feel a lot taller than people, I do like the hunch thing. And
yeah, she's not owning it like
it's
Christine.
It's like a baby giraffe in, you know, high heels. Whenever I see her walk, I'm like, oh no, she's going to fall.
I'm very concerned about Christine's heels. She's doing fine, but like walking a baby, holding those pregnant, walking in those heels.
It was a lot.
I was so stressed.
Yeah. So if you haven't watched Selling Sunset and you're looking for real estate corn. I mean, really, that's what it is.
This is not your grandma's HGTV show.
No, yeah. And I don't really like real estate shows in general, but I love this one because there's enough like cattiness and stuff and like.
And it's shot so beautifully.
Oh, gorgeous. And we've talked about that before because I think it's the Hills producer or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. And then there's like, yeah, I don't know. I love it. I'm so thankful that it came back.
Me too. I really want you to give me clues that I'll actually guess without like helping me at all. So do you think I have a chance? No, your face says it all.
But it's just because it's not something that you watch. So you're not, if you did, I would be thoroughly surprised. So this will be just new for you in general.
Okay.
But I think other people that watch it will get it from these. Okay. Ready? Okay.
Yeah.
Fiance.
Okay.
Fire.
Okay.
Fans.
Fans like people or fans like...
Fans is a little subjective. Sometimes word only is thrown in front of it. It can be that possibly, most likely. Okay. But they're not famous from that. They have one of those. Fiance, fire, and fans.
Love the alliteration.
Thank you. That was how I threw fans on there at the end. That was why.
Sometimes you want to go with it. I know. Oh my gosh. That reminds me of Ronnie and Ben on Watch What Crappens talking about Meredith Marks and how she's always got like two out of three words that rhyme and the third doesn't. She's like, I'm tired of the lies.
The what spies. Are
the
words?
The spies and the tragedy. And you're like, no, but like, it's so funny.
I love it too. They're so good.
Okay.
I think you'll enjoy this story. And I'm going to have to bring some video clips because it's definitely necessary for this.
I always enjoy your stories. Well, I can't wait to hear. And it was really great to record again.
Thank you. Totally.
We'll do this again.
Yeah. 2 weeks.
Yeah. So everybody, you can follow us on social media at Criminality Show on all platforms. We are most active on Instagram and Twitter. And we're on YouTube. You could watch this episode for free. Just why not? I mean,
why? But also, why not?
Yeah, exactly. Don't, please. Rhetorical.
Go either way.
Anything else, Melissa? Can catch you on Tuesdays, Moms and Murder.
And you can catch Rebecca on Wednesdays with Dialogue.
I think that's it.
Yeah, that's probably it. Oh, and thanks for the new reviews. We've gotten new reviews. So
oh my
sweet.
Gosh. So grateful. So thankful. Seriously, those make our day.
Yeah, they're really, really nice. They're always exciting to send back and forth to each other. Makes you so happy. Thank you.
Yeah, we really appreciate it. We're having a lot of fun and glad you're enjoying it.
Absolutely.
Okay.
See you in 2 weeks.
Bye.
Bye.